Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show, featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy! Show. Hey, everybody. Welcome here on this December episode of The Best Show. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of tonight's installment, and we have a great show for you tonight. You call up and you improve a movie. It's the night of 1,000 calls of people improving movies by adding a dirt bike to them. So you call up, you add a dirt bike, you hang up. And you say why. You say how it would improve the movie. To add a dirt bike. And we got a great show. That's the show. Well, actually, if you don't think that's a good idea, we don't have a great show for you tonight. It's a pretty bad show ahead. If you don't like that, you might not get what you're looking for from tonight's show. But you know what? You want it. You know that's going to be funny. Now, Pat, we have any calls?
Plenty of calls. I'm going
to
give
now, who's keeping tabs on this 1,000 count that we're trying to get to?
I'll do it.
All right. You do that.
Yeah.
Let's start it.
Also, Alien Resurrection.
Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom. How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Jonah from Elgin, Illinois.
What?
Jonah from Elgin, Illinois. Can you hear me?
Jonah from Elgin, Illinois.
That's correct.
How are things in Elgin, Illinois tonight? And where is Elgin, Illinois, by the way?
It's about 45 minutes northwest of Chicago.
Okay. So what you're saying is, do you tell people you're from Chicago? Do you round up?
No, never. I always just say I'm from the suburbs.
When you hear somebody from your neck of the woods say, like, yeah, I'm from Chicago, are you like, come on?
Yeah, it bugs me. When I went to junior college, kids were talking about getting the Chicago skyline tattooed on their arm, and it really bugged me because they weren't from there.
Yeah, get the Elgin skyline tattooed on their arm, right? What would the Elgin, yep. Elgin, Illinois skyline be? Cheesecake Factory?
No, we don't Target. Even have a Cheesecake Factory.
How close is the Target to the Cheesecake Factory in Elgin?
probably 20 minutes.
Kind of bookend in the town, huh? That's an either-or situation. What's your favorite thing to eat at Target? Do you sit down and have the pizza pie, or do you buy something and eat it in your car, like snacks?
Yeah, I would get, you know how they have those giant plastic jugs of, like, party mix? I would get that and eat it in my car.
You need a giant jug of party mix in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Party for one, huh?
That's the times we live in, isn't it?
That's a COVID party right there. COVID party, eating a bucket of trail mix in your car. Now, when you talk about this trail mix that they have at Target, are you talking about the Monster? Or the peanut butter monster?
I usually get the one that's more kind of like the Chex Mix style, where it's got like the little pretzels in it, maybe some, I don't know if it has the rye chips, but just like more like the savory one. It doesn't have.
No one wants that rye chip business. No one wants that rye chip.
I'll buy an entire bag of just the Gardetto's rye chips. That's my.
You are troubled. You clearly are troubled. You'll buy a bag of rye chips and just eat that all by yourself.
Yeah, I used to do it when I was studying with my classmates back when I went back to school, and they would drive nuts because it would be really loud and we'd be trying.
Jonah, you better hope. You better hope. I never come to Elgin Illinois and walk past your car in a Target parking lot, see you eating a bag of rye chips. I'll push you up. I'll roll your car right into traffic. I'm sorry. I would not do that to you.
No.
I'll tell you to put. I'll tell you to pop it in park. How about this? This is what I would. I would not do that to you. But if I saw your car, if you were like, "Hey, man, can I get a jump? My car is stalled," I'd be like, "Yeah, no problem. You got cables?" You'd be like, "Yeah, I do." I'd be like, "Is your car one of those fancy new cars?"
No.
And I'd be like, "Yeah." And then we get the jumper cables out, and then I see that bag of rye chips on your passenger seat. I see a ring of rye. You got a ring of rye around your mouth. I'd be like, "Hey, it's not going to work out." Or I'd hook both jumper cables to the one thing and blow your engine up.
Tom, you're one of the funniest human beings that's ever existed on this planet, I got to tell you.
Wait, what was that? I missed that. Say that again?
You're one of the funniest people that's ever existed on this planet, Tom.
Now, there's a problem here. I cannot hear what you're saying. Say that one more time.
You're one of the funniest people that's ever existed on this planet, Tom.
Jonah, please, for some reason, it's not coming through. Say that again.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What were you saying?
You're one of the funniest people that's ever existed on this planet.
Jonah, I heard you every time. Nice. Thank you. So tell me, Jonah, what do you got for a movie thing? You want to add a dirt bike to a movie? What would you do?
So I have a couple. They're both set in New York and involving restaurants. So one is My Dinner with Andre, and in the middle of their talk, a dirt bike drives into the restaurant and drives around, and they spend another 45 minutes just talking about how that's somehow tied to Baudelaire or something like that. But they go on this long tangent about how dirt bikes are some sort of representative of some sort of artsy-fartsy stuff. So that's
sure. So
one.
Dirt bikes would be a part of their multifaceted conversation that they have in that restaurant.
Yes, exactly.
What's the closest thing to a current movie that's like My Dinner with Andre? With just people blabbing. Podcasts. I think podcasts are literally My Dinner with Andre.
You're right. You're dead on. Like a New Yorker podcast. A New Yorker podcast.
My podcast with Andre. How is that not a podcast? All right, now you're... You love this show, buddy. You're laughing a bunch. I haven't laughed the way you're laughing. You did more laughing now than I've done in 5 years on this one call. I ain't done that much laughing in 5 years.
This show brings me so much joy. And honestly, as tough as this year has been, I just keep telling myself, I got to make it to read Tom's book.
That's the sweetest thing I ever heard.
I'm not even kidding.
That's the sweetest thing I ever heard, Jonah. My podcast with Andre. I got to meet somebody named Andre. I could either do with Eric Andre or maybe get Paul Scheer to do his character Andre from the league. Maybe I could do Neil McQuackers. Maybe get Paul Scheer reprises Andre from the league, and I bring my new character Neil McQuackers, car dealership finance. Because you think about these movies, right? There's such a thing. I'm listening to this audiobook now, this 45 hour Andy Warhol audiobook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he talked, there's so much talk about the movies he made, and I gotta see these movies. The movie part of Andy Warhol is something I'm lacking experiential wise with Andy Warhol. We get through this thing. I want somebody to put the Chelsea girls to screen it the way it was, 4 hours long. I'll sit, I'll watch every minute of that thing.
Well,
and there's nothing wrong with boring. I think the idea of boring, there's something awesome about something that being very meditative and quote unquote boring.
I agree. Well, you used to talk about loving to fall asleep in the theater, and you could literally fall asleep while watching this movie of a guy falling asleep.
No, that would be great. I would do that. I think there's something amazing about people making things that are meant to relax you a little bit. There's something awesome about that.
I agree.
If somebody said, when somebody says they fall asleep to the best show, the two things I think are how, and that's awesome. I think it's awesome. If you could fall asleep to the show and it puts your mind to a state where you can, you can zonk out, that's great. So what is the other one you have for me, Jonah?
So Do the Right Thing, but instead of him throwing the trash can through the window, he drives a dirt bike. Like he's delivering pizzas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's driving around delivering pizzas on a dirt bike, but he still takes 2 hours to deliver the pizzas for some reason. And at the end, he just revs that thing up, and he's just revving it up, and then shoots it through the window.
So the dirt bike is a constant through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you sure you don't want the dirt bike to be a surprise?
That'd be good, too. Yeah, because you could just see in the background there's some scenes kind of locked up. And they never talk about it. And in the end, he just sort of jumps on it. That's a better idea. Yeah, you should do. I hope they pay you lots of money for Punch Up, Tom, because that's a good one.
That's because it's not like Mookie walked around holding a garbage can the whole movie and then threw it through the window at the last second. They kind of introduced the garbage can late in the mix. So suddenly, he just goes and he,
yep.
He jumps over everybody and crashes a dirt bike through Sal's Famous.
And maybe we now live in a world where Spike Lee was directing like Biker Boys or one of the Fast and Furious. Like maybe that would change the entire trajectory of his career.
I'm going to say this. I've been watching these Spike Lee movies in order. I just watched Crooklyn. I'm up to Crooklyn now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching them in order the last couple of weeks. This guy's underrated. This guy's so incredibly underrated, his body of work.
Mm-hmm.
He is so, he covers so many, he can do so many things with such ease and puts his personality all over each one, but also serves. He's just he is very underrated, and you can't. He deserves a lot more credit than he gets for what he has built.
Absolutely, and the cinematography. I don't feel like everybody talks. I know that Ernest Dickerson, but Dickerson's movies he directed never looked as good anywhere near as good.
That's the two of them together. Ernest Dickerson and Spike Lee work together like magic. The way they, because I think just maybe it's down to like something like that Ernest Dickerson can help realize a vision. Maybe that's just the highest, That's the best version of Ernest Dickerson, perhaps. Although he's a really good director.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta say
they're the Sharpling Worcester of film.
Jonah, you're just hitting all the notes tonight, aren't you?
Have you gotten to Clockers yet? Clockers. Okay, you got
Clockers. I was going to start watching Clockers. I've seen Clockers before. I like Clockers a lot. I'm going to watch it again.
That's one of his most underrated. That one's really good. But I'll let you go, Tom. You've given me lots of time, and just thank you for everything you do. I'm so happy
Jonah,
to show back.
Jonah, I'm going to say this, Jonah. In terms of callers, You get a 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Is this your first call of the show? Is this your first call of the show, Jonah?
No, this is my fourth or fifth, but I only call maybe twice a year. I was that called.
This is the new rule for you, Jonah. When you call up, you just say, "This is Jonah, 10 out of 10.
Oh, Tom, I'm going to cry. Thank you so much.
You say 10 out of 10. You say, "I'm 10 out of 10. Tom said I'm 10 out of 10.
Oh, Tom, I can't wait till my friends hear this.
Hang up on him. I'm done with him. Sweet guy. I like Jonah.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Hello, best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Woody in Rochester.
Woody in Rochester.
That's right, Tom.
Rochester, now that's the city that's famous for the garbage plate, right?
You got it. We're the one.
Which, for people who don't know, the fine folks in Rochester, New York, this is what they eat on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plate of French fries, right? French fries?
Could be French fries. Could be home fries.
French fries or home fries. And what gets dumped on that thing to earn the title garbage plate?
Okay, well, first of all, you get a second side. So you can get your French fries or home fries, and then usually you're getting yourself like a mac salad. Some people go baked beans. Mm-hmm. I'm a mac salad man myself.
Sure.
You keep it classy here in Rochester. Then on top of that, would you put on...
Wait, they put the mac salad on the French fries?
It's called a garbage plate. So what you get is a pile of garbage. I mean,
when you say a side, they're not giving you a little cup full of mac and cheese.
No. This is all on one plate, and it's all commingled. You know, no one cares about it. It's all touching. It's all one solid mass.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your sides, but on top of that goes either two hamburgers or cheeseburgers or two hot dogs, or you can get a hot dog and a hamburger. They just go right on top without buns. And then on top of that goes this like meat hot sauce. It's almost like a chili, but it's very saucy. It's very kind of liquidy, and they just kind of pour that on top. And then maybe some onions and some mustard. And then you just go, and there's bread on the side, Tom, because you're going to need some bread with it.
Sure. You ever think about when you order that of just ordering it and then dropping it right in a toilet, cut out the middleman?
If we were smart, that's what we'd do, right?
Yeah.
Because you save you some intermediate distress.
I love it. When's the last time you had a garbage plate?
We're in a pandemic right now. Although I did get one. There's kind of a fancier place that has like a slightly less gross version of it that I order from sometimes. The old Grubhub or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple months ago.
All right. Fair enough. Look, it's in your blood. You're Rochester.
I mean, it's literally in my blood, Tom.
Yeah. So what can I do for you, my friend?
I got one for the topic. I think we should add a dirt bike to the end of the movie Punch Drunk Love.
For who? For Barry?
For Barry. So Barry has the screaming argument on the phone.
I love this.
Hoffman.
And he's like, shut up, right? Shut up.
And then he pulls it. He yanks the phone cord out of the phone, and he starts running towards, Provo, Utah. But what he does is he stops back at the warehouse where they're making the Fungers, and Luis Guzman is there, and Guzman has a dirt bike that Sandler borrows from him. And then Sandler rides the dirt bike from L.A. all the way to Utah to confront the Mattress Man, drives the dirt bike right into the mattress showroom where Hoffman's getting his haircut.
I love it. He rides a dirt bike right in.
Right in.
Right through the mattress shop.
Mattress Man.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say this. I thought Punch Drunk Love was impervious to improvement until tonight.
Wow.
That's garbage plate. Garbage, Mr. Garbage Plate came through.
Yeah, it might be doing things to my body, but maybe it's fueling my brain, Tom.
Might be. This might be helping you. This might be like, we might have a limitless situation here.
What if that's it? I mean, maybe that's how like Kodak got started. We got Kodak and Xerox up here. Maybe George Eastman was eating garbage plates, came up with the movie camera.
Well, whoever was eating garbage plates was eating garbage plates, came up with the garbage plate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a real snake eating its own tail kind of thing.
Ooh, you did it.
To figure out.
I love it. Well done. Well done.
Thank you, Tom.
Goodbye. Best show. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Claire from Ireland.
Claire from Ireland. You're in Ireland right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, unfortunately
what?
It is.
What?
3:47 a.m.
It's 3:47 a.m. And why are you up at this time of the morning, Claire?
Well, I again have drank some Coca-Cola too late in the day. Yeah, I'm listening live, rarely.
Now, what is something about Ireland that an American like me would have no idea about? Give me something fascinating about what it's like to live in Ireland that I would not know about.
Oh gosh, I would say if you chose to live in Dublin, you would lose any hope of ever owning a home.
Because it's impossible to buy a home?
Oh, just the house prices and the inability to get a mortgage. That is
well, Claire,
something
I got some exciting news for you.
You bought me a house?
I did.
Oh, thank you.
I bought you a house. I bought three.
Finally.
And you can pick one of the three.
Great.
And then we'll let the guys from SoCal get the other two houses.
Deal. Oh, I wish now, I was sure.
So say you want to go and eat a nice quick meal by yourself, Claire, where would you go?
Oh, wow. I'd probably go to there's like some really good Korean and Japanese restaurants in Temple Bar in Dublin, but okay. I have not been there for a year because of the whole, pandemic thing. So.
Sure, sure.
Mostly I go to my fridge.
And now when people say, oh, you got to have Guinness in Ireland, it's so much better than anywhere else. Do you even know what it's like anywhere else? Because you're from Ireland?
No, well, I mean, if you go to the Guinness, the storehouse, the kind of museum thing, you can try different Guinnesses from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell the difference. It all just tastes like kind of brown.
Tastes brown.
Yeah.
I got to say, because everybody's always like, oh, you get the Guinness in Ireland. It's not even the same. It's like drinking cake.
Bad cake.
Drink cake. I'll just go eat some cake.
I'd rather drink some cake.
Yeah.
Apparently the one from South Africa is more bubbly. I don't know.
And then, oh, they took the little ruler and cut the foam off the top.
Yeah, so you have to do that, or it's important. You have to draw the little Schombach on top.
Sure. Well, Claire, so what do I owe the pleasure of this call tonight?
Well, I'm hoping to make one of the most boring films I've ever watched into possibly one of the most exciting films I've ever watched.
Let me guess which movie. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
No, but
maybe one of the most boring movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, I haven't made it the whole way through that, so I can't.
Because I saw the first one and I thought it sucked, right? Everybody's like, oh, you got to see it. It's, and I go to see this thing, Lord of the Rings, right? And first I thought it was, halfway through, I thought it was Lord of the Dance. I thought it was Michael Flatley. And I'm just like, wait, when does he show up to do his thing? And they're like, no, he's not in this. Okay, well, it's strike one, but that's on me. I misread the thing. And everybody's like, oh, it's just wait. And I watch it. Basically, it was like watching these elves have like a town hall meeting.
Yeah, a town hall meeting and then a very long walk.
Yeah. And then everybody's like, oh, the second one is so much better. You're going to love the second one. Literally in the second one, one of these elves gets in a tree that starts walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And the tree's going bloop, 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 bloop. It's a tree walking. It's the slowest thing imaginable.
But the graphics, the special effects.
Yeah, good for them. What am I running Lucas films? I don't care. So yeah, but I skipped the third one, and I guess in the third one, that one elf throws the watch, the whatever, it's like a radioactive watch, poisoned watch or something. What is it?
Yeah, the one watch, something like that.
Because that's what it's like a, there's like a, is it a possessed watch or a poison watch?
It's like a magic.
A magic thing. Watch. So he's got this magic watch, and they're just like, for what God knows whatever reason, they got to get rid of this magic. I would personally think he had a magic watch, you'd hold on to it. Seems like you could, seems quite collectible. But that's neither here nor there. It's not for me. So what to you, Claire, what is this boring movie that you'd like to change?
Oh, my. Avatar, please. Can Avatar please have dirt bikes instead of horse lizards?
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Avatar. I remember sitting at the Avatar, and I was like, all right, now it's wrapping up. Not realizing there's another hour to go in this thing.
Yeah.
Suddenly I was like, oh, they blew up the giant tree. Which I wish was the tree from Lord of the Rings. I wish that tree ate it. But it wasn't. It was a different tree. It was like, oh, it's the tree of life. And I was like, oh, they blew up the tree of life. And then now, and which is another thing, they could blow up the movie tree of life. I'd be fine with that as well. But then there was a point where it's just like, we got we got the one military guy gets in like some like a little whatever he was in, he's stomping around. I was like this is
suit thing.
Yeah, the suit thing. That's right.
Yeah.
So you would want to add dirt bikes instead of horses.
Yeah, those lizardy horsey things that they fly around on.
Where they were like, find your horse.
Yeah. Find your dirt bike.
Mm-hmm.
Become one with your dirt bike.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I'll give it a shot. Might make it better.
I make it worse. Well,
couldn't be any worse.
No.
I think it's great that there's four more Avatar movies coming.
Oh, is there? How?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Four more.
But they did everything. What else is there? I don't know. Oh, dear.
So, well, anything else, Claire?
No, I'm just kind of sad now about there being more Avatar movies.
Well, you don't have to go see them.
No. I'll dream about them tonight or this morning or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, Claire, I thank you for the call.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Have a grand evening. Thanks.
You too.
Next call, please. Best show. Hi.
Hello, Tom. It's Mike from Keyport, New Jersey.
Mike from Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
All right. I got a quick one for the topic. And a dirt bike. Here we go. Cannonball Run. Not the whole Cannonball Run, but just we get Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr., their characters, on a dirt bike instead of in whatever fancy sports car they're in. And the kicker is all of their dialogue, all their funny, zippy one-liners, they've got to scream at the top of their lungs to get over the sound of the revving dirt bike engines.
So let me picture this again.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cannonball Run, the Burt Reynolds and company ensemble piece where they drive from coast to coast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But now they're all on dirt bikes.
They can all be on dirt bikes, but more specifically, I want Dean Martin's character and Sammy Davis Jr.'s character. They were the loan sharks, but they were also the priests dressed up. What I would like is their characters, most importantly, their characters on the dirt bike.
Okay. You want them on the dirt bike. That way you could hear Dean Martin scream his wobbly dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's where the comedy lies. That's where the comedy is, dare I say, ramped up in this one.
Now, you don't think that in any way this compromises the performance or even the chance that they'd win the race if they're on dirt bikes?
It can't go 100% correctly for them. You know, they have to take a dirt bike now across the country. So I think that hampers their odds. I think they came in, what, fourth in the Cannonball? But I do think that, like, just the idea of Sammy Davis and Dean Martin with their cool guy jokes and their one-liners and their, you know, their priest antics, screaming their lines would be, that's where the comedy gold is mined here.
It's interesting because when you say you're going to add a dirt bike to a movie like Cannonball Run, which is such an automotive film, who's on a motorcycle in that movie? Burt Convy?
Burt Convy and I don't remember the name of the other actor, but he, and they were popping wheelies.
Yeah.
We might have to take them out and put them in like a Trans Am or a Porsche.
Sure, sure.
To overcompensate for the dirt bike that, you know, Dean and Sammy are going to be in.
Sure. So you're looking at it. We upgrade on Dean and Sammy the way you're saying it, but now we've just lost Burt Convy's defining characteristic in the movie.
Addition by subtraction.
It's like a game of Jenga, my friend. It's a game of Jenga.
As you know, as a proficient Jenga player, you know, I know what we're up against. I know what we're up against.
You're good at Jenga, huh?
I have participated in a few tournaments here and there. Not for big money, not Cannonball Run money, but you know, here and there.
Sure, I'm pretty good at Jenga too. I had one game I was playing where, it was a little more high stakes than maybe the games you play. It was $900,000 a piece for every piece.
For every row that you add?
For every row, yes. And this one Jenga player, they got the one piece. They pulled the thing out, right? It was like there was one of the levels was resting on two pieces, right?
Okay, all right.
They pulled that one piece out, and that was resting on one piece. You know what I did?
I can only imagine, but go ahead.
I pulled. Everybody was like, of course you're going to avoid that that piece now, the one that's like a that's you got one piece balancing the thing,
a hanger, so to speak.
A hanger. So this is what I did.
Yeah.
I reached in. I pulled the one piece balancing that had the whole thing balancing on it, and the Jenga didn't fall; it levitated.
See, that's a magical story.
It just hovered there, and then
did you win the money?
Then the other guy started doing his thing, right? And then a friend of mine blew an air horn at him, and then he messed up, and then I won $11 million. All right, Chief. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks.
Keep it coming. Who's next? Best Show, hi.
Hello.
Hello, hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Mary from Lansdale.
Mary from Lansdale. Now, this is one of the all timers.
Oh,
this is a good person. This is a quality. This is a quality human.
thank you. How are you doing tonight, Tom?
I'm good. I'm good. What do I owe the pleasure of this call, Mary?
Well, I've got to be honest. My husband and I have been going back and forth on this topic all day.
On the dirt bike, add a dirt bike to a movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What do you got for me?
Have you seen Troy?
Troy?
Yeah.
The historical epic.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Brad Pitt.
I know it. I didn't see it.
Yeah. But you know the general outline, and like the movie doesn't really deviate because you know it ends with a Trojan horse.
Sure. So, I like this. I see where you're going. A Trojan dirt bike.
Yes. Well, so here's the thing. My husband thought of this. This is great. He said, the rest of the movie is the same, but you open up the Trojan horse, and out come dirt bikes. All the Greeks on dirt bikes. And the Iron Maiden song, Run to the Hills, starts up. As the Greeks start to pillage Troy, coming out of the horse, riding dirt bikes.
I like this. I like this. It opens up and a wave of dirt bikes come out.
Yeah.
Well, that is an upgrade.
Much better movie.
I would watch that movie. There's a reason why I didn't see Troy, but if it had dirt bikes in it, I would have seen it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have another one?
What was yours? Yeah, there was one. I started to think about like Excalibur with dirt bikes, but then I realized that's just the movie Knight Riders.
Yes, that's true. They did the George Romero movie Knight Riders, and then he makes that movie, and then they're like, he's like, oh, I got to make a movie knights with motorcycles, and then they're just like, George, we need you to make another zombie movie. He's like, oh. Man, he hated those zombie movies after a while, huh?
Yeah, I think it started to get to him, you know. Although, you know, Dawn of the Dead is I love it. And that has not dirt. Well, there's a motorcycle gang in it.
Well, what about this? Dawn of the Dirt Bikes.
Yeah.
And it takes place and it's a comic. Because this is something, Mary, look. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. I know you're a very smart person, but I know this probably eluded you when you saw Dawn of the Dead. It's a comment on commercialism, actually.
Are you sure?
You have to realize there's a reason why they're in a shopping mall. It's a comment on consumerism. It really is. The shoppers are the zombies any different than the shoppers you see at the mall? Now, I want to give you 20 seconds to wrap your head around that and to truly digest that concept. Okay, great. Now you're back.
I think I got it.
Yeah, no, that's That's what I says. Dawn of the Dirt Bikes.
Hell, yes, yes. Like it. Excellent. Thank you, Tom, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. You have a great night.
Good night, Tom.
Good night. Best show, hi.
Hello?
Hello, hi. Best show.
Oh, yes. Oh, I did the thing, right? I had to tell you, I got to mute the thing. I always hear people not muting the thing. I just got it muted. I'm sorry. I did it. It's muted.
No, no, no. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Cool. Now you figure it out.
Figure it out. I'm here. I am set. My name is Vitaly. I'm calling from North Jersey. I got one for the topic.
What do you got, Vitaly? What do you got for the add a dirt bike to a movie? What movie you want to add a dirt bike to?
Well, I want to see 12 Angry Men. I mean, like, let me correct myself. I never want to see 12 Angry Men again, but if there was a dirt bike, and imagine it's like at the beginning where they, remember there was that old guy in it, the juror, the juror that's like, oh, I don't care, I got a baseball game, let the kid ride, he probably did it. Imagine he was saying that as he was stepping on a dirt bike, and then the guy that was like the earnest one that wanted to make sure that the fair trial was had just chased him for like an hour and a half, caught up with him, they had a fight, and then they came back to the court, and that was the end of the movie.
I like it. I think there's room. I'm going to pitch this to you since this is your baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to collaborate here.
Let's do it.
12 Angry Men.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? 6 of them are dirt bikes.
Oh, that really cuts to like right to the chase of having a dirt bike chase in the movie.
That way you get people like being like, of course he's guilty. There's no way he's not guilty.
Yes, I want that. I would watch that. That is how I would watch 12 Angry Men again.
And a dirt 6 dirt bikes are on the jury.
6 angry men, 6 angry dirt bikes, one big blockbuster.
Exactly, I love it. We did it.
All right,
buddy.
Oh, Tom.
No, wait. What else? What?
I'm so sorry, Tom.
He's gone. Up. That's too bad. No, he didn't pace his thing out right. He did a little. Oh, I forgot. Can't do that. You play with fire. Next call, please. Best show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the program. To whom am I speaking?
This is Wes.
Wes, hello? Where are you calling from, Wes?
I'm calling from Vancouver.
From Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
That's the one.
How are things in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada? Now, what's the deal with Vancouver Island? What's the deal with that?
Oh, I'm from Vancouver Island.
But what's the deal with it?
It is a small island off of Vancouver that shares a name with Vancouver.
But what's so fancy about it?
There's nothing fancy about it. There's a lot of it's a mix of rednecks and hippies.
Okay.
And kind of where those two communities meet.
Hippies and rednecks.
Yeah.
I love it. And which one are you?
I fancy myself right smack down in the middle.
Sure. You mean like where you're done up, so if you turn one way, you look like a hippie, and you turn the other, you look like in profile, you look like a rocker?
Yeah, something like that. Or where, like, both groups of my friends listen to Neil Young, but for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Yeah. What do you listen to Neil Young for? What makes you listen to Neil Young? Canadian pride?
There's that. There's the guitar tone.
Okay.
I went through my top 10 listen to records of the year, and one was Stars and Bars.
Yeah, American Stars and Bars, classic. What's your favorite Neil Young song of all of them? You got to pick one. What is it? I can guess you. I can guess. On the count of three, we'll both say your favorite Neil Young song. You ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Powderfinger.
Oh,
We're close. Cortez the Killer, Powderfinger, close.
It was pretty close.
All right. So to what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, I had one for the topic.
Let's hear it.
So One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's the exact same ending. Everything happens the same. But McMurphy had stashed a dirt bike in the hedges outside the window, and the chief rides off on a dirt
bike. On the dirt bike. I love it. I love it. That's so there's like got. You're using a dirt bike to create like a magical moment.
Well, it just speeds things up at the end.
Yeah. All right. Love it. Anything else?
No, great.
Bye. Thank you, Tom. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Josh calling from Riverton, New Jersey.
Josh from Riverton, New Jersey. Now, where's Riverton?
It's right across the Tacony-Palmyra Bridge from Philadelphia. So, like, south-ish Jersey.
Sure. Like around Cherry Hill?
Yeah, in that vicinity.
Like around Camden?
A little north.
A little north of Camden.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You like to eat at that pizza place? What's it called? People's Pizza?
You know, I pass by it, and I always think that name is hilarious, but I hadn't gone in it pre-pandemic, and I don't think I'll be going it during or post-pandemic.
All right. Well, go get yourself a slice. You earned it.
All right. Thank you.
So what you got for me tonight, Chief?
I haven't been able to listen in live. Has anyone mentioned any of the Beatles films?
No.
Oh, so when I saw the topic pop up today on the internet, I could only think of the opening scene of A Hard Day's Night, where the Beatles are essentially being chased by a roving gang of teenagers on dirt bikes.
It's been a hard, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It'd be like a Mad Max or sort of like that scene in Weird Science with the dirt bike gang.
Yeah. So it'd be like the Beatles crossed with Mad Max.
Yes.
Now, who's on the dirt bikes? The Beatles or the fans or everyone?
I think the fans, and I'm imagining it the fans, you know, how they're kind of outside the train station, just sort of like circling it, trying to get a peek at the Beatles.
Well, that seems more menacing.
Yes. That's the direction I'm taking it.
All right. You don't want it to be a kind of thing where the Beatles run and then get on dirt bikes and get away from the fans?
That'd be kind of cool, too. I'll take any version of this that I could get, really.
That, I think it would be pretty cool to watch the Beatles get away on dirt bikes.
Do you think any of them would be able to do, like, a wheelie?
Do I think any of them would be able to do the Beatles would do a wheelie? I think Paul could do a wheelie. Yeah.
Have you ever ridden a dirt bike, Tom?
Well, this is the question I was kind of waiting for. No, I never have.
Do you want to?
Yes, I do.
What
These
are
the
for?
Things I want from life. Ride a dirt bike. Hang out with a chimp.
Yep.
Right?
Maybe ride that dirt bike through the Holland or the Holland Tunnel next to that
Holland
car.
Tunnel. Oh my God! And then the other thing I wanted to do, the thing on my bucket list that I did want to do that I do you know who Terry Crews is?
Yes, I do.
Do you know who Clay Matthews is?
I do not.
He's a football guy, right?
All right. Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to fight both of them at the same time, and I did.
Who? What was the outcome?
They're both in the hospital right now.
Wow. During a pandemic, Tom, that's brutal.
Hey, man. They came at me, right? You know what I did? I did like a spin kick.
Have you ever done one of those things where you kind of put both arms out, horizontally and kind of double close on somebody.
What I'll do often is I'll do that, and then I start spinning around, and I just start punching person after person.
What's your drop kick technique like?
My drop kick technique?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I usually do kind of like a bicycle kick, actually, which is like a 360. I just jump backwards, and I kick. Or I'll do 360 or 720 even.
So for your bucket list, are there more people to fight, or are those kind of the only two?
No, those were the big two, Terry Crews and Clay Matthews. And I got them done at the same time because it was like a scheduling thing where it's just like, well, you got to fight both of them simultaneously. I'm like, these guys are both super tough. But it was the only way to make it happen, so I went with it.
Have you ever considered fighting Jake Paul?
I wouldn't want to get any Jake Paul on me.
That's fair, yeah. You never know where that guy's been.
You don't. Or you do know where he's been. I don't know what's worse.
Yeah, it's a, as you would say, a two-way tie for last.
It is a thank you, yes. I love it. Well,
that's all I got, Tom. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
What you got was more than enough.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Have a great night. Next call, please. Best show. Hi.
Hey. Hey.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Dylan in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Dylan?
Yep.
How are you tonight, Dylan?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Good. What's going on in Winston-Salem? Home of?
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes, that's right. That's like when you pull into town, it says home of cigarettes.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cigarette?
Camels are the Winston-Salem, the most famous Winston-Salem brand. So I smoke a lot of Camels, especially when I'm in other parts of the country. I like to represent Winston-Salem, but I like Marlboros. But that's gonna be Richmond, and that's our nemesis.
Sure, that drive from 95 to 85, it's like a tour of the Cigarette Museum of America. Pass that one cigarette company. What is it, Philip Morris?
Yeah, that's Richmond.
Yeah. Now, excuse me. What is your name? All I can think is just Cigarette. I don't want to call you Cigarette.
Dylan.
Dylan, of course, Dylan. I'm so sorry. We started talking about cigarettes, and then Philip Morris.
I got excited.
Well, Dylan,
I got excited because I'm trying to quit, and so I think about cigarettes a lot.
This is what I want to say to you, Dylan. It's time to quit smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, it's so bad. And then I look around and I'm like, man, this city is built on the backs of death and destruction and lung cancer and all that. And then I think
we built this city on cigarettes. Built this city. This is what you should do. You should go to town hall as soon as this pandemic's over. You go and you say, like, I call a town hall meeting, and you go and you bring a little boombox and you have a karaoke version of We Built the City. And you just say, like, everyone here, we got a little problem because this city has been built on one thing. And then you do We Built the City on cigarettes. And then you say, it's got to stop. And you reach into your pocket, you pull out a cigarette, and you light it up and you say, this is my last cigarette for my life.
That could go viral if somebody could catch that on camera.
Well, we'll set it up. Well, I'll get somebody to show up there and film you when you do that, Dylan. But seriously, and all kidding aside, I know you're trying to quit. You think you might be able to do that? You're going to try to do it for 2021, seriously? Take care of yourself?
Yeah. I'm doing pretty good. I'm, like, maybe going from over half a pack a day to, like, six in the past couple weeks is pretty good.
6 packs a day?
No, 6 cigarettes in the past couple weeks after I started trying to quit.
Okay. Well, you're down to 6 cigarettes a day. And this is what I'm going to say. No, the goal is for you to actually like stop. For say that again.
I'm saying 6 altogether in the past couple of weeks. Like some days, none, which is better than I thought I would do. Whenever I was like, I'm going to quit, I thought I'd be, you know, like most people, and it's just so easy to say that and not do it. But I surprised myself and was able to go days without it. But yeah, like I'm saying, 1 every few days is what I've been doing, but maybe it's.
And the one cigarette is so you get one, and then you after you smoke it, you're like, that'll hold me for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, I've got plenty of nicotine gum and stuff, so.
Sure. Well, Dylan, I want to say this. You're off to a really good start.
Thank you, Tom.
And I believe in you, and I know you can get it to the point where you're not smoking any cigarettes.
Thanks. You might be the only person who said that to me so far. I mean, I just started. I didn't really tell anybody I was quitting, but.
Well, you went from not telling anybody to telling everybody. And we all know you can do it. Well, not all of us. Some people think you can.
Some people think I can.
I believe in you. I believe in you, Dylan. I know you can get this. You can get this nicotine monkey off your back, so to speak.
Yep, I hope so. I mean, yeah, I will. But anyway.
You try. That's all you do. You try. And look, if you slip up here and there, you just keep trying, though. You keep trying. You get that cigarette. You just realize it's like an ashtray in your mouth, right?
But then I'm walking around this city, and I just look at everything and all the cigarette stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you got for me tonight? You got something for the topic?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Jerry, the Gus Van Sant movie?
Oh, that's the movie, the Matt Damon, Casey Affleck movie where they kind of, they're walking and talking.
Yeah, for like a long time.
I never did see it. And that's one of those movies. This is the kind of movie I'm getting interested in now. Boring movies. And when I say boring, I don't even mean it in a bad way. I don't mean boring in a bad way. I mean meditative, focused,
yeah.
singularly determined. Some people would say a Kelly Reichardt movie is quote unquote boring because it's not fast cuts and fast edits. So be it. It's not though, but I could see why you feel it because it's setting a very deliberate pace. But I says to you, I'm interested in this kind of thing now, and I want more of it.
Because, Kelly Reichardt, she's really good at just, I don't know, making it so gripping, even though it is kind of objectively boring or whatever. Like Wendy and Lucy, the time just flies by.
Yeah,
you're just so
I agree. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And that's what he was trying to do with, I mean, all his movies are, I mean, he had a period there where his movies were really, yeah, like meditative. And I just think Jerry failed at that.
Okay.
You know, Matt Damon and Casey Affleck aren't necessarily the guys that you want to follow around in the desert and look at. And also... Mm-hmm.
Sure.
There was really nothing there. There was just nothing to. And also, I was younger when I watched it, but I just felt like. Because also, what happens is they die out there. And so that's the other thing a dirt bike could help. But also, I think if they had a couple dirt bikes or one, there could have been a movie there.
All right. So you want to add one dirt bike or 2 dirt bikes?
Well, we're going to have to workshop that because I don't know. I think that they could both fit on one. It might look cooler. Like in my own private Idaho, you know, Keanu and River looked good on that bike together.
All right. Let's say one dirt bike.
Let's say one.
And, one dirt bike. The movie Jerry now is a dirt bike with... with it's a dirt bike riding through the desert with Casey Affleck and Matt Damon on it.
Yeah, and it's a happy ending where they ride that thing to civilization or some sort of oasis. I haven't thought right. that far.
Dylan, you don't have to think any further. I love it. I tip my hat to you. And you're going to quit smoking. You're going to call up and say, you know what? I haven't smoked a cigarette. I did it. And you know what I'm going to say to you? You're darn tootin'. You did do it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Jonathan in Houston. How you doing?
I'm good. What's up, Jonathan?
I'm just calling in. I got one for the topic. And I appreciate you taking my call. I know it's late.
Don't worry about it, buddy. What do you got? Give me the good stuff.
Okay. I was thinking The Last Waltz.
Oh, well, I'm going to say this. You were worried about anything you were worried about. You stopped worrying about it because you just dropped the best one of the night on me right now. The Last Waltz with dirt bikes.
Well, I had an idea for how I see the dirt bikes factoring in, but
please,
let's hear
it.
Obviously, if you have a better idea.
No, I want to hear your idea. I would never have come up with The Last Waltz with dirt bikes. So I'm in your world.
All right, so at the very least, what I see is at the beginning when they're doing all that pre-concert interview stuff,
mm-hmm.
They're sitting on the couches and stuff. There'll be a dirt bike in the room, which I guess Robbie Robertson or someone will say, "We got this fantastic gift, for the occasion of our last show. Mm-hmm. Ain't it something?" So. And that's that. And then the next time you see the dirt bike will be the concert goes exactly the same, except when Neil Young comes in, same exact thing, only he comes in on the dirt bike.
So Neil Young comes out on the dirt bike.
Yeah. But makes no big deal about it, maybe.
All right. I got to say, my friend, you just taught me something. But the world is full of possibilities.
It's true.
So what if it's kind of like this? Let me see if I can pull this off. Wait one second.
Uh-huh.
Give me a second. Tell me about what you're asking for. Would you celebrate Christmas?
Hanukkah.
Well, what did you get for Hanukkah?
Nothing really for, Hanukkah's more for the kids.
Sure. So you didn't get nothing?
I don't think so. Nothing.
Nobody got you anything?
No, I wasn't feeling bad about it either, but maybe I should have been.
Dudio, can you send me a dirt bike MP, a sound of a dirt bike? As an MP3. So hold on a second.
I think someone tweeted one at us.
Wow. Get it there.
It's different than Christmas. It's more for the kids,
I think you need to get some Hanukkah spirit back. I think you're missing out on the magic of Hanukkah. You could use a little Hanukkah magic. So when you were a kid with Hanukkah.
Yeah, Hanukkah was a big deal as a kid.
Did your family start off big gift first night or a small gift first night and build up to the big gift?
It usually built up. Yeah. So you were like
socks,
the eighth night.
Yeah. Pencils.
Like you had your grandparents giving you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, usually the parents would distribute, it was not, you know, it was pretty good throughout. I had a good Hanukkah.
Sure, sure. So as a kid, well, what's the all-time best Hanukkah present you ever remember getting?
Best one. I remember I must have been maybe 10, and I got a Nintendo. And that, yes. Like, I vividly remember that. That's got to be number one.
I love it.
Yeah.
My friend.
Do you think sorry to interrupt, but like.
No.
For the dirt bike in the last waltz thing, I had, like, for some reason when I first came up with it, I was thinking I had the image of Neil Young. And then I had the image of Robertson sort of foreshadowing it. And then I thought about maybe it can be like a running thing where like different guys are vying for the dirt bike. But I didn't
like Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell comes out on the dirt bike.
Yes, yes.
But they all come out on the dirt bike.
Not all, but it's got, because it's got to be a little unpredictable. Like maybe they're sort of fighting for the dirt bike.
They're fighting for the dirt bike.
Yeah.
I gotta say, my friend, I'm gonna just try something right here, and you tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
You tell me if you think this works, because you're the conductor of this one. And what's your name again? I'm Denny? Ready.
Jonathan,
you tell me what you think. Hold on. Of this. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Think about that,
Tom. I'm really humbled. Like, that's why you're the master, you know. I just serve it up, and you really take it to art. That's beautiful stuff.
you're very kind.
No, that's great though. That's hysterical.
All right, well, you have a great night.
All right,
I'll talk to you. Okay, take care.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, and Michael Lisk. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason. Website and technical support provided by Martine Sellis, and the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow, and follow us on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram over at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show number 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.